Welcome to the Mama Bear Dares podcast. I'm Tessie.
And I'm Leslie.
We are sisters-in-law. We started this podcast because we found ourselves sitting around the table on the couches and just talking about what it means to live life as a woman and as a human in America, in our families. And we realized, like, we can't be the only ones doing this, right? We can't be the only ones just kind of lamenting the tougher parts and celebrating the beautiful parts together. And so we wanted to do it on a bigger platform. We wanted to give a voice to, I don't know, Leslie, wouldn't you say the voiceless? I mean, a lot of times our guests are the voiceless, right? They're doing amazing things within their sphere of influence, and they just don't get the attention they deserve.
I'd say that's true, sure. And I also like how we were just lounging on all the couches and just drinking all the
coffee. Yeah, your kitchen couch, my regular everyday living room couches, all the couches.
That's right.
But you guys, so today we actually have one of those interviews of a woman who started her passion project just because she was kind of overwhelmed by life as a new mom. And we have all been there, have we not? So Amanda Simkin is a mama of two boys who blogs about her favorite city in the whole world, Chicago. We were excited to talk to Amanda because we love the idea of place being a character in our lives. Leslie brought it up in the interview, how New York is kind of a character in one of our favorite shows, Sex and the City. But Chicago really, as the place that Amanda lives and occupies, she also chooses to explore it with her family. It became a character in her life, and it kind of made us evaluate how the cities we live in became characters in our lives, right?
Yeah, and it was great to talk with Amanda because she's a Chicago blogger, and she blogs specifically to an audience of Chicago moms. And so we did. We got excited about exploring this idea of place with her. But I think, Tessie, you would agree, we really just got wrapped up in a fun conversation with Amanda. I don't know that we really kept that thread of place going, or it wasn't as predominant as we thought that it would be. But we had such a great time talking with Amanda. Just, she's warm, she's funny, she's really smart, and she made a delightful interview.
She did. I mean, on the one hand, I'm really proud of us for just being totally in the moment that we forgot that we were being recorded. I mean, that's to be celebrated for sure. And, you know, just a quick note, we recorded this a while ago, so we kept the bit in the interview where we talked about the Chicago Cubs, even though at the time of the interview, they had yet to make their way to the World Series. And then you and I right now are recording it, still not knowing the outcome of the World Series.
Right. I mean, they're in.
They're in.
We're going to start watching.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we're watching every minute of it, but we don't know the outcome.
Happen.
So,
that's right.
So recognize that as both the intro here and when we get in the interview, that there is still some excitement about what's the possibilities, right?
Exciting times. It's so true.
Yeah, but it was just a fun discussion about all things Chicago, about all things. We expanded, of course, into motherhood, into marriage. We went all the places as we normally do. But, you know, even though we don't know what the Chicago Cubs are going to do, I am taking a note from Amanda, and I'm going to celebrate, but I'm going to keep the champagne corked and chilled. I'm not going to celebrate too early. Are you there?
Right. It has to be appropriately timed. Like,
yes.
You don't want to drink it. You don't want to uncork it too soon.
Yes. And we're not. We're not going to do that.
We're going to try. We're not. I mean, we're not.
What do you think, Leslie? Should we bring on the interview?
Let's do it. Today we sit down with Amanda Simkin, the personality behind the popular blog Queen of the Land of Twigs and Berries, a 30-something coffee and wine drinker raising two boys in Chicagoland. Amanda's goal is to explore her hometown through the eyes of her children, devouring the delicious sights, tastes, and adventures in what she believes to be the most beautiful city in the world, Chicago. She also encourages moms to enjoy the city for themselves, showing them through her posts that she can live in this world as a busy mom and a gal about town. Mm-hmm. We're excited to be talking to her today in Chicago about what makes her city great, about her life as a mom and a blogger, and about why she believes that an engaged mama bear lives local. What...
Welcome to the podcast.
There you go. There
Welcome you go. To the podcast, Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you. So nice to meet the two of you.
Thanks. So let's jump right in and talk about your blog. Tell us about the title, Land of Twigs and Berries.
So I am the queen of the land of twigs and berries. Mm-hmm. It is a mouthful, and it's kind of an inside joke that I started with some of my friends. One of my best friends always calls me queen. I have no idea why. I kind of like the finer things in life.
Just
like
queen?
Glass of champagne. Queen or queenie.
Okay.
Yep.
I need a friend to do that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and he's a really good friend, too. And then the twigs and berries came about. I was having a play date with another boy mom, and she was laughing about how we were surrounded by four of our boys who were just, like, going crazy. Mm-hmm. So, we affectionately refer to them as our twigs and berries. So, I guess queen of the land of twigs and berries is me trying so to be good. Girly in my smelly and masculine household.
Oh, I love it so much. I love it, too. And I love hearing, I mean, titles are hard, for one thing. I feel like titles are hard just to come up with. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're naming something like this blog, which has become a business. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of a big deal. And I love hearing the backstory.
Well, what's really funny is when people have no idea, they don't, like, get the joke. Yeah. And I'm just kind of waiting, like, twigs and berries. It's funny.
And then you have to say.
It's funny. But
penis and testicles. I did that for Leslie. She hates talking.
Beep, beep, beep. Somebody's going to want to retract that statement.
I
tell you.
I love it. So what made you start blogging?
So I was an English teacher and reading specialist for about 10 years. And reading and writing is something I'm very passionate about. Once I had my first son, Logan, and that was 5 years ago, I decided to stay home, and I was starting to get a little crazy because he couldn't talk, the dog doesn't talk, there's not a lot of people talking in the house, and my brain was kind of turning to mush, and I really was looking for a way to just have some fun. Mm-hmm. So I started keeping a log of some of the things that we were doing. For 2 months, I didn't even tell my husband about it. I was, like, embarrassed. I've had a lot of people read my writing before, so that wasn't it. I think it was just the whole, hey, honey, I started a blog, and I thought he was going to look at me like I was insane. So since I was the first of my friends to have kids, I thought, okay, people are starting to have kids. They're asking me questions. I'm just going to write it down so I don't have to have the same conversation over and over and over again. And they started sharing, like, oh, Amanda went to this apple orchard. She really liked this, that, and the other. Or, oh, Amanda went to this play space. Here's some good tips on when to go. They started sharing those via email and Facebook, and things just kind of grew and grew and grew. And now it's kind of a big old blog.
Yeah, so it kind of began as an outlet for you, but also as a resource for other women.
Exactly, exactly. I wanted to help out my fellow mom, and I also was helping myself.
That's terrific. So often, you know, your writing kind of mirrors life, right? Mm-hmm. So you're writing from this place of motherhood in this specific city. Talk to us about the research that you do. You're a teacher, an English teacher. Mm-hmm. What goes into each article? Tell me, I want to know details. Like, do you have an editorial calendar that you follow? Do you kind of, does your writing follow your social calendar? You know, what you do with your kids?
My writing definitely in the beginning fit around my social calendar. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, oh, we are going to the Cole Children's Museum. I'm going to write about that next week. But now that I have been writing for so long, I really have to be particular about what my posts are going to be about. I do 2 posts a week, and I really like to have a wide variety. A lot of the time, I have family and friends just randomly text me like, hey, have you written about this? Like, maybe that's a good idea. And sometimes it's a good idea, but sometimes I'm like, no, it's not a good idea, but thank you.
Yeah.
I get a lot of readers email me, So basically what I think to myself is, would an article about this topic help me as a mom in Chicagoland? If it's going to help me, yeah, I'll probably write about it. If it's not, maybe I'll do a funny Facebook post or Instagram post about it, but mm-hmm. It's not blog worthy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the echelon, it's not blog worthy. Yes. No, that makes sense, because mm-hmm. you only have a certain number of words to spend every week.
Exactly. Exactly.
So how do you research these things? So say someone is like, I want to know the ins and outs of whatever. I'm not from Chicago. Like,
ins and outs of pie in Chicago. So I have to say
the pie one.
Do you bring it upon yourself to eat all the pie? This sounds fantastic.
Right? So the pie post and I think the donut post are the most rewarding posts I have ever written. Specifically, the pies. I wrote it last year in the fall, right around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. My sister was on maternity leave. So my kids were at their school program, and my sister and I strapped the baby in the car seat, and we went and we ate pie, and it was amazing. The really nice thing is that a lot of local businesses, because I really try hard to focus on local businesses mm-hmm. as opposed to big box, mm-hmm. popular national brands and whatnot, is that they will happily give my sister and I a slice of pie to write about them. And sometimes if my photo that I take is a little blurry or I'm out of storage on my phone, they'll send over one of their favorite photos of a piece of pie mm-hmm. or donut or whatever. So the research is really fun. My boys love when there's a play space or a park or a museum to go to, because they get to go play and then they tell me what they like and what they mm-hmm. don't like. Mm-hmm. So that's really the best part. Sometimes when you get writer's block, you don't really want to write. It's like, ugh. But researching, the best.
Yes. Well, I often would find that when I was writing, doing more freelance work, I'd be like, oh, I want to try this new bourbon bar that's down the street. Mm-hmm. Like, ooh, honey, you want to go on a date? Like, let's make this happen.
Yeah. You know? But, yeah.
And I think too, when you are kind of on assignment, and I think a lot of people would maybe even recognize this with just basic posting on social media, but if you're doing something like a blog, or if you're challenging yourself to do one picture a day for mm-hmm. 30 days, mm-hmm. you kind of look at your life a little bit differently. So I know when I was blogging, I haven't touched my blog in a long time, but when I was blogging, I would just live more, I just noticed things more. Exactly. I had this lens of like, I'm going to maybe think about this some more and I might actually write about this. There's a certain kind of, there's a certain pair of glasses you put on, if you will, when you know that you are going to be reporting out into the world.
Yeah, mm-hmm. My boys know that our play is a little more focused and a little more structured when mommy's big camera comes with us. Mm-hmm. When the big camera stays home, we're not really focused on exploring all different parts of a space. We're just mm-hmm. straight up having fun. If we don't get to all of it, so what? But when we're on assignment, we gotta figure out all the details and really get a good handle on something.
Yeah.
When you're on an assignment like that, like, how do you become reflective of your life with boys? Like, how you see Chicago differently than, like, the single people? What is that? Like, that has to make you stop and pause and think, like, is this how all Chicagoland people see this? Is this how my unique experience, you know?
I think as a parent, once you become a parent and your child gets mobile, you see things from quite literally a lower level, because mm-hmm. you look and you see, oh crap, there's an outlet over there, there's like some pebbles over there they're gonna chew on and whatnot. So I think especially as a boy mom, there are places that parents can take their kids and it will go well, even if they have to sit still. Take for example, I have a kid sister. She is 18, she just graduated from high school, and she's a ballerina. So I have gone to many of her ballet shows. Tons of kids in the audience, my boys' ages. I have boys. They will sit there for maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 if they see their beloved Auntie Katie, and then they're done. They just have too much energy. Mm-hmm. Little girls, they'll sit, or even more relaxed boys, we'll say.
I was going to say, I could take both of my boys to the ballet, but my daughter, like, forget about it.
Really?
That's yeah.
True. Oh, wow.
That's true.
Okay.
She has the heart of a young boy, for sure.
She's got like some spunk in her. I like it.
I beg to differ, but no, I totally get what you're saying.
Yes.
So I kind of have to view it as... my boys have a lot of energy, and yes, they will get engrossed in something, but only for a short amount of time. It was my birthday last week, and I really, really wanted to spend it at the Art Institute. Oh. It's one of my favorite places in the world, and that's just what I wanted to do. I told my husband, as a birthday present, I don't want flowers, I don't want candy. I want to go to the Art Institute by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want the kids there, just me. So I could actually enjoy and slowly look at everything and just have a relaxing day. So other Chicagoans, they go to look at the art.
Yeah.
We do more of like a drive-by art.
Right.
And make a beeline to the hands-on art crafts that they offer and whatnot. So we can enjoy the same things that a non-parent will enjoy, but we enjoy it in a different way.
Yeah. At different times and
yes.
At a different pace.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Fast-paced.
So you write on the blog that you were the first amongst your friends to have children in the city. And that, same. Like, I, too.
And it sucked, didn't it?
It's really, really hard. And I love how you use your blog, really, as the source of encouragement to other moms. Mm-hmm. So what are a few messages? Like, maybe just give us your top three that when writing your blog, when talking with others, what do you hope to get across to new moms through your work?
So being a mom, it's hard. It is very, very, very hard. I never knew it was going to be this difficult. And I thought, oh, I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for a long time. I got this. Yeah, no. So I am really trying to put out an uplifting message of, first of all, you're not alone. Mm. Like, yes, you might be on Mommy Island, like I was after Logan was born, but think of all the other moms in Chicagoland and really all over the world who really kind of don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
You're not alone.
Yeah.
That's
like, it's okay.
Such an important message.
You're not alone. We're all kind of a hot mess, but it's okay. We're going to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And survival, you can do this. People have been, or moms have been moms for ages, and you're going to figure it out. Yeah, you're going to make some mistakes. Yeah, there will be good days and really awful days, but you can do this. You especially can go to the Museum of Science and Industry and know to not go during winter break like I did. Like, learn from my mistakes.
Yes, yeah.
You can do it. You can survive.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome. You're going to have a great time. And lastly, which is something that I am really most passionate about, yes, I love my boys. I love them so, so, so much. They changed my life for the better. They are my everything. But at the same time, I am not just their mom. I am Amanda. And that first year of motherhood, I kind of just lost myself in being a mom. So I really want to point out to moms that you really need to take care of yourself first. One of my favorite quotes is, you can't pour coffee, maybe? Wine? From an empty cup.
Champagne?
You know, we could just keep talking. Margarita?
Yeah.
But basically, you really are not going to be a good mom, a good wife, a good friend, a good anything if you don't take care of yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've started to add a lot more articles on how to take some time for yourself, like a really awesome art class, a really great relaxing shower head. I know it sounds silly, but the shower head, it was amazing.
And you do these things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, you're doing these because you see the importance of it, and then you're sharing this message.
Exactly. And what's even better is that my husband is, like, the most supportive husband ever. And he will stop and be like, I think you need some you time. And he will encourage me to try new things. And he was the one who was like, oh, yeah, go do a podcast. And then after that, go to your best friend's house down the street. Go have a cocktail, and we'll see you later. So it's nice to have someone who is your partner and very supportive of you as a mom, of you as a business owner.
So I have to ask you, did I know that didn't just happen in your relationship. Someone, I'm sure your husband is an amazing person in and of himself. Mm-hmm. But do you feel like his mom encouraged this message, or is it something that you have been working on together? Like, how do, you know, I'm not to say, like, how do we get our husbands to do that? But I'm thinking, like, I want my sons to be the kind of people that will 100% support their loved ones and what they're doing.
I would say that both my mother-in-law and father-in-law are very supportive of anything their kids want to do. Mm-hmm. So I think that they have just created, you know, who I think is a pretty awesome guy. But also the fact that my husband has two sisters. So he has kind of always known how to treat a lady.
Okay.
And what's really, really funny, I once heard a saying that said, like, you know, marry a Jewish husband. They'll take really good care of you. Totally true.
You found that to be true.
Oh my goodness, totally true.
So you're not Jewish.
I am not Jewish. No. I was raised Catholic, but, you know.
You found yourself a Jewish
Found myself
man.
A Jewish guy, and I haven't been happier since. So yeah.
That is amazing. I wanted to say, when you originally talked about why you started the blog, too, one of the ways that I think women need to really get back to who they are, or like how you said you lost yourself for the first year. I think every mom out there listening would be like, oh yeah, me too. Yeah. Especially for the first one. You might have learned that mistake for your subsequent children.
The second one handled that a whole lot better.
But especially the first one, it just rocks your world. But you said, like, oh, I remembered that I love the written word. Like, writing, reading, that kind of thing. Maybe a listener loved painting or loved drawing. Like, our mother-in-law just sits and, I mean, I would call it doodling, but it's gorgeous, you know, at her table. You know, there are all these things where, like, you've loved something before. You can do that after motherhood as well. And it might look, I mean, you couldn't have, when you were an English teacher, thought, at some point I will be blogging about my favorite spots in Chicago.
No, definitely not.
So it might look
not.
Different. No. Be open to the new ways that it presents itself, but you can't lose that, right?
Exactly. And it's really funny. I was telling my husband just the other day, I was tidying up our bedroom, and I have a lot of books on my bedside table right now. And I was like, you know what, honey? I am so much of a happier person when I am reading a book. And he was like, well, just got to make sure you keep your nightstand full of books. So it's just interesting. I always knew I loved books, but I didn't really put two and two together that I am literally a happier person when I have a book to escape in. It took me 34 years to figure that out. So watch out, library.
Here I come. I love it. And it's what we can all ask ourselves. Like, when are you truly happy?
Reading a book, drinking a glass of wine.
So what's on your nightstand? I know that we're kind of changing course here, but I always love to know.
So I have started reading some books because a lot of my readers have been mentioning to me that they are totally overwhelmed. Back to school and back to driving from this and that and the other and whatnot. So I've been doing a little bit of book research for the blog. So I just finished a book, something about about a happy mom, the happiest mom on the
block. Happiest mom on the block, I've heard of that. No, it's a happiest kid on the block. Do you want to look it up real quick?
Something about how to be a happy mom. So I just finished that, and right now I'm between two books. I am reading Well Played, which was written by a Chicagoland mom, Meredith Sinclair. So it encourages you to incorporate more play in your everyday, and it's awesome. I love the way it's written, and it has a lot of great suggestions that I've been able to incorporate with, like, zero effort. But then at the same time, I'm also reading a total beach read Chicklit book by Jane Green. I don't know if you have ever read her stuff. So she is a British writer, and it's always some, like, heroine is struggling with something, and their dream man comes, and conflict, but it all works out in the end. And I know it sounds stupid, but it is like I am on vacation once I open the book. So I like to have a mix. I can't read heavy all the time.
And I don't think you need to apologize for reading Chick Lit or for reading People magazine. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Like, mm-hmm. there's some sort of weird stigma that I think we put on spending our time that way. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, it can be such a great escape.
No, I think our culture does a weird thing where they, like, make this assumption that if you read that, this means this about you. And it's like, wait, no. It's the same with the trashy TV shows. Just because you watch trashy TV does not make you a trashy person. It just makes you someone who is able to sit back and not think of a dang thing when this is going on. Same with the book,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
That doesn't say anything about you as a person other than you know what you want and you do it.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I like a good beach read, even if I'm not at the beach. So.
Oh, wow. So one of the posts that you wrote that I know really struck a chord with people, it struck a chord with me because I have a similar story, but you basically found a mommy match or a really good friend on a blind date. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was essentially a blind date. So we definitely believe in connecting with other women and other moms, and just know that a community of people around you is so, so important. So tell us, first of all, now tell us a little bit about your tribe, but before that, go back and talk about just the courage that it took to go on a blind date with another mom, and just sort of this sense of like, no, this is important. I need to do this. Like, talk about that.
So the blind date, Stephanie and I talk about this quite a few times and we have a chuckle. Every time I meet a new friend or have a new play date, she's like, was it like our spark? I'm like, no, it wasn't.
The spark just wasn't there.
So the way I met Stephanie was through one of my husband's college friends. She mentioned to me when she was visiting us once I had my first son, like, oh, I have a friend who lives in your town. Like, she's boys. You should be friends. Uh-huh. And I was like, no. But I started to get so lonely, and I don't know if it was the postpartum blues or the fact that it was winter in Chicago that I was like, you know what? I'm a personable person. I used to stand up in front of classes of like 30 kids, and I could do this. I can meet a stranger.
Yes.
So I must admit that the first time we met, we were horribly, horribly drunk at our mutual friend's wedding. And it was very dark. There were flashing lights. We had a lot of alcohol. And I just remember like, oh, she was nice. What I remember from her saying is, oh, we have to leave soon because the baby won't take a bottle. And I was like, oh my God, my son wouldn't take a bottle either. Like, oh, connection. Yeah. So then I decided to follow up. I got her email address and I shot her an email and said, you know, would you like to like meet at the park or something? And she said, sure, how about this one at this time? Awesome. And I was getting excited, and it was like I was going out on a date. Picked out an outfit. Like, it was very nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I'm sweating just thinking about it.
So hard.
Yeah. Thankfully, well, the night before, my husband was like, so, are you excited? I was like, yes, but I'm very nervous, but it's going to go well. And he goes, well, you remember what she looks like, right? No, not so much. It was dark. We're drinking. It was like maybe my second night out without kids.
Say no more.
Get it? So it was interesting. I'm looking all around the park. Nobody's there. I'm like, oh, thank God. Finally, she emerges. The only one at the park. I was like, oh, thank God. And we just kind of hit it off, and we've had lots of play dates there since. And I feel like our relationship has helped both of us realize, like, hey, I can meet strangers, and yeah, they might not jive with my parenting style. We might just be acquaintances, or we could be really close. Mm-hmm. Like, I could find somebody who is just like me, exactly someone who I needed. So now that my boys are older, I come across a lot of parents at school and activities and whatnot. And just recently, my husband came home from the park with a mom's phone number. And I was like, honey, what? What are you doing? He goes, no. So there's this woman who lives a couple blocks away from us. Her boys loved playing with our boys. I told her you had a blog. She said she knew of your blog, that she would love to have a play date. So here's her phone number.
And oh my gosh.
That was still intimidating. This happened about a month ago. I'm still not used to this whole, like, strangers, let's hang out. But again, I found a really awesome person.
Yeah.
We've hung out a lot since, and she's great. So basically, you just have to step outside of your comfort zone. Just like when my boys go to the park, they can make a friend mm-hmm. with anyone yeah. or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, I'm starting to do that. I'm like, I'm going to look at you. Do you look like you're my kind of person? Like, you don't look totally into the fact that you have to hold your kid on the monkey bars. That jives with me. you're kind of looking at your watch. I get that, too. Like, maybe we could be friends. So,
yeah. I definitely have always found that, well, number one, babies are the best icebreakers.
Yes, and puppies.
Babies and puppies.
Yes.
And you're just desperate enough. You get to that point when you're just on that mommy island, as mm-hmm. you said, that you're just sleep-deprived yeah. enough, or, mm-hmm. you know, that you mm-hmm. are willing to do those things.
Yeah, now that a lot of my friends are having kids, I am so, I don't know if I'm kind of jealous of them, because they have someone to call and be like, oh my God, Gracie's teething, what do I do? Like, you have me to call. I didn't have yeah. anybody to call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My sister is constantly like, okay, what should I do next? What should I do next? And sometimes, just to be a jerk, I'm like, why don't you figure it out? And she's like, but you are my person. So it's really nice to be able to fill that void for a lot of my friends who are now starting out as moms. So I'm just going to creepily hit on parents of older kids until I find someone to be more of my resource.
Yeah,
totally.
So
I love that. I have been dying to ask you. I was from Iowa. Now I live in Michigan. Not a city anywhere. Mm-hmm. I've never lived in a city as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love about being a city mom? I mean, there's like the stereotype, those of us who haven't, you're just glamorous, and you have, like, the best strollers, and, you know, whatever, but what do you love about it?
The stuff I've been feeding
you. Yes, exactly. What do you love about it?
So, I guess what I dig about Chicago moms is that they can basically do anything, and they will figure out a way to get from point A to point B with winter coats and traffic jams and everything. Nothing stops them. What I think was my biggest challenge was, I'm going to have to think about that a little bit. I think one of the reasons why I wanted to get out of the city, what challenged me a lot, was the uptick in violence and crime and whatnot. So that was one of my biggest struggles. And it started to overshadow the sense of adventure we used to have. So as a Chicago mom, it is like you live in this big giant playground. You have so many fun and awesome things that you could do. Every day is an adventure. Every day is different. And that is something now in the suburbs, we don't really experience that all that much. The amount of things that Chicago has, for example, taking my kids to Chinatown for authentic dim sum, like you can't really do that anywhere else. So what I think I really loved the most about being a Chicago mom was the vast amount of experiences. We definitely weren't the most glamorous. We definitely weren't hanging out with Bill and Juliana. Nothing like that. We were just constantly exploring and having fun. And since I grew up in Chicagoland, it was really awesome, and it still is awesome, to be able to take my boys to the same places where my parents took me as a little girl, and to see them experience some of my favorite things. through their eyes. My dad passed away 6 years ago, and his family business is actually just a few blocks from here. And he would take me to the Vienna factory and have lunch there and whatnot. Small things like that, like instead of going to a chain restaurant, we're going to go to a really authentic place, and it's like, no big deal, we'll go there again next week. So I think what really makes a Chicago mom unique is just the vast amount of experiences and all the cool things that you can do that you can't do anywhere else.
So you're talking about you grew up in Chicago, and you live here now. You're raising your boys here. Do you ever feel a sense of kind of wanderlust, or are you pretty satisfied with where you are?
I feel like you should ask me that question in January.
Okay.
And my response will be, let's get the hell out of here. Yeah. You find me a palm tree, and I'm there.
Yeah.
But I, as much as I complain about it, as much as I hate the hot, humid August and winter, I could not live anywhere else. I just couldn't. My husband grew up here. I grew up here. I can't leave my, like, 17 family babysitters. I just can't.
Right.
And it's really an amazing place. We do love to travel now that my boys are getting older. They are starting to travel much better and enjoy it more, but I think my wanderlust was a little bit different. I was a teacher in the city and the suburbs for 10 years, and I just got totally wiped out and worn out. So my wanderlust was more like, I need to get out of this situation. And I did, and I cannot remember a time where I have been this happy. Just being in control of what I do every day, having a flexible schedule. So I'm never going to leave Chicago, but I'm going to leave my situation in Chicago to make a better one.
I'm curious how, you know, you write about all of the amazing parts of Chicago, the great things you can do, the great things you can find. You've talked here, too, about just, like, the ability to give your kids authentic Chinese food or authentic Ethiopian food, whatever you want, the authentic stuff is happening here, you know?
Yeah.
But then you mentioned there's also violence. Like, how do you, in your mind, how do you grapple with this idea that the city that you love, your favorite city in the world, also is on a lot of our radars as being one of the most violent in the country right now? Like, how do these two collide in your head, in your heart?
I struggle a lot with trying to figure out how to teach my boys that Chicago is a beautiful, amazing, great place, but that it also has some major issues. So what I like to do is I like to always, and no matter what the situation I'm in, I always try and look for the good. Always. So motherhood, it's hard. A lot of the days, it really kind of sucks. But there's good. There's good in the extra cuddle that your kid will give you before they go to bed. There's good in everything. Chicago, for example, all of the protests that were happening that were coinciding with, like, the Taste of Chicago and other popular, prominent things that my family would go to, those protests, they're still good in the protests. There's a point that they're trying to bring across. So basically, it's just trying to find the good things, even though there are some bad things happening. And just trying to be an optimist and realize, yeah, Chicago's got some issues, but it's also absolutely amazing.
It's so interesting to hear you say that, because I feel like I hear people say that, or I try to even say that about developing countries that I've visited, you know. We were in Africa this summer, in Ethiopia, and you sort of are like, okay, there's so much beauty here. Like, people are hearing about the uprisings and about the problems that are happening, but you always, like, I'm always hyper-vigilant about being like, yes, there are problems, but there's so much good. Don't forget about the good. But then to hear, and I often, I see moms and women who really pour their hearts into what's wrong and try to fix it. Mm-hmm. And, like, with great intentions, make donations or pray or just be aware and post things on social media just to try to help people. I do that myself. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, just as, you know, I mean, obviously Chicago is in the United States of America. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, some of the things that I hear coming from Chicago, like, I don't know how it would be a mom here either when this stuff is, like, knocking on the back door. And how do you talk to your kids about, like, our experience of Chicago is amazing. Mm-hmm. But, like, my students' experience of Chicago, like, you wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. Like, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that would be, especially as someone who's reporting, really, you're mm-hmm. reporting on Chicago right now, I think that would be very challenging mm-hmm. and something that I think would constantly be peppering my brain of just, like, I'm writing for moms who are free to travel about the community, find the, you know, great restaurants, places to play. There's a whole lot of moms in Chicago who can't do that. Mm-hmm. So how do you, what's that like?
Well, my kids are 3 and 5 right now.
True.
So I really have to be cognizant about what I introduce them to yeah. and whatnot. But my 5-year-old, we talk a lot about what is going on. We see people on the corner with signs. And I don't sugarcoat it. I tell my boys exactly why that person is there, mm-hmm. what that person is hoping for, how we could help that person. So I really like to frame it as, it's just like when one of your friends is hurt or sad. Think to yourself, is there something I can do to make that person feel a little bit better, to improve their situation? And I know that's kind of like a small way to think about it, but I like to think of it as a good basis for discussion, especially with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So I'm sure as my kids get older, they are going to ask more questions, and I welcome that. I really look forward to my boys being a little bit older so we could take advantage of a lot of the family volunteer opportunities that exist. The school that I used to teach at, there are ways for us to get involved with that community and form a relationship, and I think that's great for everyone. It's great for my kids as the boys who, you know, came out of my hoo-ha, yeah. and my kids right. as in my school community kids.
Right, right.
So, hope you can say hoo-ha.
You can say whatever you want on the podcast.
So it's something that I still haven't figured out yet, but mm-hmm. we're all trying the best we can. So.
Yeah.
The beauty, I guess, in the dichotomy of the Chicagos that you know mm-hmm. are aware of is that your boys will never grow up thinking their story is the story of the world, you know?
Exactly.
And that is something that, you know, growing up in other parts of the Midwest that don't have access to the city, the kids are in very real danger of assuming that everyone lives like them. Mm-hmm. And so there is actually beauty in being so close to the action too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds really like you're fluffing it up because, hello, there's actual devastation and hard things happening. But hopefully you empower your boys enough to say, like, oh, I can be part of this story, too. I can enter it in whatever capacity I'm able.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
I think my husband would be really upset if I didn't ask you, what's it like to be in Chicago when the Cubs are the Cubs right now?
All right, so first of all, let's get real for a minute.
Here we go.
So, this is not our first foray into the playoffs.
Right. But you have to admit it feels different this time, no?
We're looking real good.
Yeah.
We're looking real good.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. We have been the lovable losers for so long. And as a Chicago sports fan, yes, we've been lucky with the Blackhawks lately.
Yeah.
We're negative Nancys. We are very superstitious. We don't get excited. So yesterday, my boys and I were watching the Cubs game. They pulled it out in the end, and they won. They clinched. They're having their champagne toast and whatnot. And all I kept thinking was like, whoa, slow down. Put on the pump the brakes, dude. Pump the brakes.
I think that's the Midwestern in you, though, too. Like, get excited. But celebrate this. Excited. But not too excited.
But then still game back. Go. And
those brakes.
I have felt the same way. I was one of the few Chicago Blackhawks fans before they were good. When they weren't on TV, I would stay up late listening to them on the radio.
Oh, wow.
So the fact that they're good and everybody claims they're a Blackhawks fan, it's starting to get a little like that with the Cubs. And it's like, seriously.
No. Yeah.
The last time they were in the playoffs, what was it?
It was 12 years ago, I think.
Well, last year we're in the playoffs.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I tried to throw in my sports knowledge and I'm wrong. I retract.
I think we were about one out or so away from the World Series. The Bartman incident.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking about because we were living in Wrigleyville.
That was more than that was 13 years ago.
Yep. Well, Oliver was a baby and he just turned 12, and he was like 3 or 4 months old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was holding him, and we had like a little cub shirt for him. And then our mother-in-law is a seamstress, so she's always making clothes.
Oh,
and so she had made Jake a matching like daddy and baby cub shirts. Aww. And Jake had pants also that were like just insane, like cub. And he needed
to pump those brakes.
He was putting the pants on.
It's his fault.
And was so excited, and he was about ready to run out of the apartment. And it happens. Just like, oh god. So I know that was 12 years ago. Even though I understand that you would question my sports trivia knowledge.
So my stepmom opened a bottle of champagne during that game.
Oh no.
I'm seeing her tonight, so we're gonna talk about how the champagne is staying in the cooler for quite a bit.
Yeah.
But
I hope all of Chicago hears that because it really was.
Simmer down, people. Yeah. Simmer down.
You need to write a post about that.
You should.
Well, one of my most popular posts, there are all these lucky little babies who are going to Wrigley Field to watch the game. So one of my most popular posts, I get about 200 hits on it a day, is tips for taking your kids to Wrigley Field. There's so many fun things you can do.
Yeah.
So it's inspiring a whole nother generation of kids who will hopefully not get their hearts broken. But
they probably will.
It hurts. I see you're wearing Cuppy Blue today.
Yeah.
And I dig it. But pump your brakes.
Well, it is funny though because I feel like hearing you talk about that was how I talked about Pearl Jam, you know, or you too. When you're like, wait, I liked them first.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate you
I was
talking
here first.
About them.
Get in
as
line.
If, yes, mm-hmm. yeah. So I totally hear you. But I do feel like one of my favorite parts about coming, we come to a Cubs game at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite parts is just that win or lose, terrible season or not, the city is alive. Like you walk anywhere when there's a Cubs game, and that's a whole other character in this city, right? Mm-hmm. Is just the major league sports. And I think it's cool to have in the Midwest. We don't get things like that.
Sports is a very, very important part of the Chicago life.
Like,
I didn't date a couple guys because they were Sox fans. I'm sorry, that's just not happening.
Wow.
Not happening. You stay down there. I'm going to be up here on the north side. So.
You had a specific list. Like, you heard that you needed to marry a Jewish man.
Yes.
Your own
a Jewish Cubs fan. I found them.
It's awesome.
Oh, I love it. So, we talk a lot about, obviously, the mama bear inside all of us on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's that force that shocks us, you know, to the depths of our love and our passion. What are you passionate about other than obviously books and writing? What gets your mama bear fired up?
Well, what gets me the most fired up about my situation is the fact that I turn on my computer and I see so many people saying so many harsh things about teachers and about moms. So basically, what gets me fired up is when people are kind of like, poking fun at what makes me a mama bear. To me, I am, even though I'm not teaching right now, I will always be a teacher, and I will always be a mom. And those are two of the hardest jobs in the whole entire world. So I guess the reason why I get fired up is because I feel the need to protect those roles and the people who will be like, oh, my kid's teacher is so lazy. I become infuriated. So I guess it's kind of bad that I'm viewing your fired up as like a really bad
thing. It's okay, because no. you can turn that bad stuff into rocket fuel for good.
Exactly. And specifically related to moms, you know, I see all these mom-shaming posts like, oh, my God, a mom was on her cell phone at the park. Like, big deal. Mm-hmm. Just last week, I was having a conference call on my phone at the park with my one son while waiting for my other son's school to be let out. And you know what? I was killing it. I was kicking the soccer ball. I was booking one of my biggest advertisement campaigns ever, and it was awesome. I was total mom who was doing it all. And you know what? All you people who are probably looking at me like, oh, why is she on her phone? Why? Because I'm showing my son that I could be a mom in business, that I could do something for myself and for him all at the same time. So I guess it's really the haters fire me up. I don't like them. I actually have a Mama Bear t-shirt.
Yes.
There's like Mama Bear, and then there's Baby Bear, Brother Bear.
Oh, cute.
And my husband tells me every time I wear my Mama Bear shirt, he's like, you got an edge to you when you put it on. So I don't know if it's subconscious.
You're suiting up. It's your armor.
Yeah, like, game on, man. I'm ready and waiting, so.
So in what ways would you say that you've kind of channeled that anger, that passion into something positive? Have you been ever, you know, really surprised by your own capacity?
Well, I think the fact that I've been including more personal things over on my blog, more editorial pieces like why you should rock that bikini, why you need a timeout, why you should go away for a weekend with your girlfriends. I think that has kind of inspired other moms as well as myself to take a step back, take some time out for me. All the mom haters, you could just like go away. I'm going to like rock this. One of my favorite memories and what made me feel like a really accomplished person, not even an accomplished blogger or an accomplished mom. I was at an indoor water park with my family last winter. An indoor water park. I think I might have remembered to shave my legs. I think. It was January or February. Very, very pale, you know, not looking so hot. And a mom came up to me and she goes, I read your blog. And I was like, oh, aren't you sweet? And she goes, I'm wearing a bikini because you put your imperfect photos of you in a bikini. You inspired me. So aww. I was wearing my bikini. She was wearing hers. And she asked my husband to take our picture. So my poor husband, who was like, Amanda doesn't like photos. You're a stranger asking to take a picture with my wife, who is probably like, I don't really know what's going on right now. But it was awesome. Thankfully, he didn't drop the phone. And we were rocking our stretch marks and some cellulite. But you know what? We're happy.
Beautiful.
We're
absolutely
splashing around playing with our son. So it's kind of like that anger. Those people are like, oh, you shouldn't be wearing that. How could you wear a bikini to a swim lesson? It's like, get over yourself. I'm wearing a bikini, and I have a frozen drink in my hand, and I'm at an indoor water park, so just
leave. Yeah, that's really empowering. I mean, it is, and obviously that was a message that someone needed to hear, too.
Yeah.
Many of us needed to hear.
And it was so awesome to just totally meet a stranger and have her say such nice things. Yeah. Oh, it made me feel so good for like 3 months.
Isn't it amazing how we can ride on those kind of moments of affirmation? They really, so we've done a podcast on this though too, but like when you are thinking those things, say them.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not creepy, like approach, and that maybe is borderline creepy.
You know, it kind of was, but I've had a lot of people I think they recognize me from my Instagram a lot.
Your Instagram is gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It's beautiful. Because a lot of people will be like, oh, I saw that you were just at Starved Rock. So we took that same photo you did. Here it is. And they'll send it to me. And it's like, oh, okay. That's awesome. But whoa. All right.
It is interesting because this is a whole new world. This social media, mm-hmm. even blogging. I mean, I've been blogging for almost 10 years, mm-hmm. but it's still, that's relatively new. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a relatively new thing, right? The fact that people can access the blog now on your phone, whereas when I started, you only the people who had access to computer yeah. and internet could mm-hmm. do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this just opens up everything. And when they're like you and you share actual personal insights and personal information, you naturally feel like you're my best friend. I don't understand why that would be weird.
Some people say, you know, I feel yes. like I know you
yes.
when I met them for the first
yes.
time.
Yeah.
And thankfully, a lot of these people are colleagues. We're in like Moms in Business networking
right.
groups. So I know
yeah.
they aren't totally creepy
yeah.
or anything. But it's flattering. But then at the same time, I don't share my son's names mm-hmm. on any social media. And I'm pretty careful about things related to, I would never post anything that would embarrass my son. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for maybe a photo I posted a few days ago, but you wouldn't take his finger out of his nose. I
yeah.
said, I want to take a picture with you. It's our special time while your big brother's at school. And he's like, I want to poke my nose in the picture.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I mean, he'll embrace that. Whatever.
He already does. Yeah. He
yeah,
already
exactly.
digs it.
It's fine.
I got boogers,
I think,
Mom.
I think that's cool. I mean, I think there are certainly aspects. I mean, I know we've also been in those moments where you're like, oh, I'm glad that you enjoy it. But also, like, I just really want to just read my book. So, okay, bye.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
so, like, there is that aspect of, like, oh, this is so weird because you know more about me than I know about you, which is a new phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the aspects where, like, if you're open to it, sometimes those people think they're your best friends because you have a lot in common. Because
yeah, and these people
yeah.
I've met are awesome.
Right,
like they,
right.
They are not weird.
Yeah.
They're funny, they're smart,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have to creepily hang out at the park to
exactly.
find them.
That's
they find
exactly
me.
It.
Right.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. So it can build this really cool community that
mm-hmm.
was just not accessible before. And
mm-hmm.
so there is, that's an incredible piece to the kind of social media phenomenon or
sure,
like your blog,
sure.
especially because your blog is so, you know, Chicago focused, like you have access to all these people who know already that you're their kind of person,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
which I think is so, so cool.
So Amanda, it's one of our favorite segments.
Okay.
We love the obsess-ish, and I was especially excited to ask you about your top three obsessions du jour, because your Instagram, your social media, you're always kind of finding the latest and greatest, sort of, you know, the
no pressure,
the
no.
cool stuff. You're right. So total pressure. Tell us where it's at.
Well, you mentioned Instagram. So I have become obsessed with Instagram stories. I like can't get enough. I'm like little boomerang crazy. Snapchat is very overwhelming to me. I can't handle that. But I love Instagram stories. I'm finding all of these cool people to follow. The one weird thing, I do not like the sound of my voice. Yet I'm on a podcast.
Welcome to the I'm so proud of you. I know. Thank you for pushing past that.
Another thing that my kids and I are totally obsessed with right now. We have always loved the Chicago Botanic Garden. We've been members for years and years and years. And they just recently opened. We got a media preview last month, but it just opened, I think, last weekend. The Regenstein Center. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But basically, it is a whole entire new wing of the Chicago Botanic Garden that is geared towards kids. There's a beautiful children's garden, tons of interactive displays and learning classrooms, and it is just awesome. There's this one area, it's a field with all of these man-made hills, and at first I was just like watching my kids run, taking videos of them, and I was like, screw this, put my stuff down, and I started running and rolling, and so fun.
That's amazing.
Yes, it was awesome. So I highly recommend that. And then just like the typical mom or woman, I'm obsessed with fall, right? Like, who isn't?
I love fall. Do you love fall? Are you more of a summer?
I'm kind of a summer person.
Oh, no.
I love fall.
So, basically, I am on the hunt for just the coolest fall things ever. And, unfortunately, I have to keep some of them under wraps. Because...
You can tell us when we're done recording.
Because I will be writing about them in the next issue of Chicago Parent Magazine. And I will also be writing an article about some of my favorite fall things for NPN, the Neighborhood Parents Network. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately... They're under lock and key right now, but pretty amazing.
Cool stuff to come.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Well, that is fantastic. Thank you for sharing kind of your three obsessions. Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Really.
Two and a half.
Two and a preview.
But where can we find you? Where can listeners go to find you, Amanda?
Well, if I am not at my kids' swim lessons, you can find me at www.queenoftheLandOfTwigsAndBerries.com. I have a really, really active and fun community over on Instagram, so I would love for you to find me over there. I want to be friends. I want friends.
Yay!
Be my friend.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
this was such a delightful conversation, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me. It was great to meet you.
Mama Bears, today we dare you to indulge in hobbies. For Amanda, when she was consumed by motherhood, she remembered one of her first loves, words. She started writing and she started to find solace on the page. This is what hobbies can do for us. When we're consumed by life or by work or by motherhood or marriage, they give us that special window into remembering who we were before all of that. When life gets busy, make sure that you're settling in and finding some time for yourself and to indulge your hobbies. And, Mama Bears, while you're engaging with your hobbies, take a moment to appreciate the place that you've landed. Place is important, and living local can be beautiful. Take stock of your surroundings as you live your life. Look up from your book every once in a while, or look around while you jog, or while you paint, glance out the window. Think about the ways that your physical space impacts the way you live your life. Take a page from Amanda's book. Enjoy your hobbies and enjoy your town. You've got one life to live, Mama Bears, and we dare you to make it a beautiful one.
Indeed. So, Mama Bears, thank you so much for listening, for spending an hour with us again on your commute into work or your laundry time with your kids, right? We so appreciate you giving that to us and to our guests. Please make sure you find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat. When we see that you are liking the page or doing something like that, it just sends a little thrill through us. Does it not? It really does.
Just like this little pinch of love. I love it.
Yeah, so thank you in advance for doing that. And also for subscribing on iTunes and Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. That also, when you leave a review, helps to further the conversation and... Yeah, I mean, it's this, again, the pinch of love that we just adore. Adore.
We sure do. And we'll be back, Tessie, on Wednesday. And we're going to talk about racism, actually. We're going to get a little serious, get a little deep. We're going to talk about 10 ways that white moms can fight it, can put up a fight.
I love it. We went from just talking about all the things that we love about Chicago to racism.
Let's do it. This is
a snapshot into our minds. You're welcome, Mama Bears. Thank you guys so much. Have a good week. Go Cubs!
That's right. Go Cubbies!